Okay, we're going to read Proverbs chapter 10. And as I was saying to the children, you don't need your worksheet quite yet. But listening as we're reading that, how many times he says the words wise and fool, or wisdom and foolish and things like that. See if we can have a little count up through those verses. So this is Proverbs chapter 10. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son. We're going to come and look at that chapter and a few other parts too of Proverbs in a little while. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we do come before you and we ask for your help. For we want to be men and women and young people of wisdom. And Lord, we want to live in the right way. We want to know that way that leads to life. We want to have something that lasts. Lord, we want to stand firm on that rock. And so, Lord, we pray that you would teach us wisdom. James tells us in the New Testament, if any don't have wisdom, they can ask God. And we ask you that you may make us wise. Lord, we feel it all the time, that need for wisdom, that ability to make wise and sensible decisions, that way of navigating through the ups and downs of life and the different things that lie before us, in dealing with all sorts of people that we meet along the way, with all sorts of circumstances that we find. Lord, we need your wisdom. And so, Lord, we pray that you would teach us your ways, that you'd help us to have a heart of wisdom, we ask. And so, Lord, come before us. Give us humble hearts, just like those crowds listening to Jesus as he preached that Sermon on the Mount. Lord, we pray that we would be those who listen to your word, but those who listen and obey it, those who are doers of your words. Lord, for we hear that warning of the Lord Jesus, that there will be some who have listened to him, but are still in foolishness, are building on the sand, and everything will sooner or later collapse, because they're not truly obeying you. And Lord, we hear that warning. We pray that you might challenge us, that we might consider carefully what we're building on. Lord, that we might see that path of wisdom that you outline for us in your word, that we might follow in your ways, we pray. And Lord, come amongst us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. Convict us and soften our hearts, that we may listen and obey you, that we might have true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. So Lord, do us good, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look together at this theme then this morning of the wise and the fool. We've been looking at the book of Proverbs over the last few months, and we've moved on to try and think about how we're going to deal with the rest of the book, really. We said last time that the book of Proverbs is quite a sort in there in chapter 10. You know, there's Proverbs about all sorts of different things. A little bit like a box of chocolates. And all different sort of Proverbs there in one chapter. Just one after another, you can have a proverb about generosity, and the next one's about how you should relate to the king, the next one's how you should work hard, and the next one is how you should avoid gossip. You know, it is just like that. And we were saying that the book of Proverbs is there in this way for us, and perhaps it's there for us like that because it's a good way to read the book. And we were encouraging people last week, perhaps even at the beginning of a day, just to read half a dozen Proverbs, 10 if you want. Yeah. Read some Proverbs about all sorts of things, because that's the way they're given to us in God's words, and who knows whether they'll come in handy that very day. You read a proverb about 10 different topics, and you might find that one of those just comes in useful that day. Whether you have an opportunity to be generous, or you're facing the temptation of gossip, or whatever it is. You might find, say, if you read half a dozen, 10 Proverbs, or something like that, every day, you'll find at least one of them comes in handy. So this assorted way of the Proverbs being there for us, maybe for our good, because we never know what life's going to bring our way either. And yet, perhaps the easiest way to study Proverbs is to group them together into similar things. It would make for a slightly more boring box of chocolates if they were all identical, but sometimes it makes it easier to handle that sort of thing. And so that's what we're going to be doing. Did one last week, and we're going to do a couple more topics over the next few weeks as well. Rather than having them as assorted proverbs, rather collected proverbs, putting them together into different topics. And so our topic that we're going to think about today is that of the wise and the fool. The wise and the fool. It's important to realise right from the very outset, Jesus is not talking about cleverness. He's not talking about your IQ or how well you did at school, at GCSEs or whatever exam it might have been. Wisdom is not about how clever you are. It's not about whether you can have a white-collar job. It's not about whether you can go to university or whatever. Wisdom is not about our cleverness, our intelligence, or our ability to retain facts or learn our times table or whatever it might be. Wisdom is about living skillfully. And that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. And that parable that we were thinking about that Jesus told, the parable of the wise and foolish builders, there with the house that's built on the rock. Jesus, of course, in his words, was echoing Proverbs. Echoing that big theme that's there in the book of Proverbs. Anyone want to hazard a guess how many mentions of wisdom and foolishness there was in that chapter we read? Anyone keeping a tally? You think there was 4 or 5 each of each? Okay, yeah, okay.
I got 16 wise men.
16? Wow. Righto. Good counting. Righto. Great. What did you think, Mimi?
9, 6.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, I got 6 for wisdom. I got 7 for wisdom. But anyway, we can all count up afterwards. I may not be the wisest on that. Anyway, great. Good listening. But say, the big theme is there in the whole of Proverbs. At a rough guess, it's about 150 times it mentions it in the book. The idea of wisdom and wise. And then there's lots of other similar phrases you can use as well. So that's where it gets a little bit confusing. The same with fool. There's probably about 90 or 100 or so mentions of the word fool or foolish. But then you have, again, lots of sort of varieties of that word as well, and slightly different ones that are very similar in it. It's the big theme of the book of Proverbs. So we're going to move around a little bit in the book, say sort of collecting together some of these proverbs on wisdom and foolishness. Chapter 14, verse 1, for instance. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. That's just one of the verses that Jesus had in his mind as he talked about the builders in the Sermon on the Mount. Same again in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3. Through wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. That's Jesus' point as he makes his parable, and it's there in lots of these proverbs. There's a wise way to build, a way to be established, a way for things to last. So let's think a little bit about that then this morning. When we think about building a house on the rock, it starts with a plan, doesn't it? Get an architect, a designer, to think about, to plan out what the house is going to be. And so it is a good place to start when we think about the purpose. Why do we need to live a wise life? Why does it matter if we're here at church? Why does it matter if we listen to Jesus? What's the big deal? All sorts of people live all sorts of lives. Some people seem to have very successful lives and they have no thought of God. But what's the point? What's the purpose we have behind it? And so before you start to build a house, Jesus told that parable as well, somebody needs to think about what it's going to cost and what the whole purpose is behind it. And so if we think about the purpose of life, he says this in Proverbs 13 and verse 14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. The purpose of wisdom, the purpose of listening to God, of listening to Jesus, is because the wise receive life. And the law, God's word, is there to turn us away from death. That's the whole purpose of it, to receive life, to escape from death. That's what we're thinking about building for. Again in Proverbs 15 and verse 24. The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. What's the purpose? Why does it matter how we live our life? Well, Jesus wants us to think about, the book of Proverbs wants us to think about, what's the end goal of this? The wise will escape from hell. The wise will receive eternal life. The wise will survive. Even through the storm, even through that storm of death, and pass through death to everlasting life, to eternal life, with God beyond that. That's the purpose of this. Think about where life is going. Think about the certainty of life ending. The wise thing to do is to plan, is to think, is to think through what is going to happen. And so the path of wisdom is a path of hope. Proverbs 24 and verse 13. My son, eat honey because it's good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you found it, there is prospect, and your hope will not be cut off. The wise have hope. The wise have hope in this life. Hope for the next is like honey for your soul. The book of Proverbs puts it, it's like something there within you that gives you that hope there, certainty in your heart. And in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 35, as we jump around picking up these assorted themes, Proverbs 3 and verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. So when we think about that parable of building a house on the rock, when we think here in the book of Proverbs, we think about, where do we want life to go? We can live our lives for just the here and now. People throw themselves into their career and family life, getting rich and maybe just having a fabulous house and the like, all sorts of things, enjoying themselves, having fun. There's 101 ways to live your life, yes. But do we think about the end result? You don't just start plonking bricks down on the ground and hope you'll end up with a house, do you? You have to have some idea, some objective of what you want at the end. And so it is with life. Rather than just starting plonking bricks around, just making haphazard 101 little decisions, we're meant to think about, what do we want in the end of this? Do we want heaven? Do we want a hope in our hearts? Do we want to go to glory? Do we want to escape from death and hell? If that's our objective, then listen to Jesus as the way we should build. So we need a design, we need a purpose, we need a plan for these things. We need to have our objectives clear. Secondly then we need to start. It's not okay either just to dream up a fabulous house. You could get the world's best architects and all sorts of designers to design you a fabulous house, but you'll never enjoy it if you don't start to build it. And so it is. People can have the idea, yes, I'd love to go to heaven. Yes, I do want to escape from death and hell. But unless you do what Jesus says, you won't. You have to start building. You have to start following that way of wisdom. And it's all about listening. That's how it starts. It starts with listening. It was right there at the beginning of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. That's the whole point of the book. It begins in that book, the Proverbs of Solomon. They're here to be listened to. That's how we start, with listening to God's words. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. That was in the chapter we read. The way of life is the one who listens to instruction, listens to what God would say. And perhaps for the children here who've been brought along by mums and dads and the like, and perhaps some of us can reflect on the same thing. Another big theme in the book of Proverbs is listening to your parents. That's how Proverbs 10 started. Proverbs 10 verse 1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Chapter 13, verse 1, starts in a very similar way. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. And so can I encourage you, children, part of listening to God's word will be listening to your parents who are teaching you that, who are teaching you God's words. Listen to those older than us, wiser than us in the faith. Listen to parents. Listen to God's words. And a big part of that is having the humility to do it, to take those things in. One of the big themes in the book of Proverbs is listening to advice, listening to God's words. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. That's a big dilemma, isn't it? A big difficulty, isn't it? Something we really all struggle with, isn't it? Because we all have a good idea, we think, in our heads. We know what we're doing. And we find it very hard to listen to advice. But here they tell us in Proverbs, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The fool thinks he's doing the best thing. He thinks he's got it all sorted. The wise thing, rather, is to listen to counsel, listen to advice. I mean, it's humility, don't we, in doing that? All of us do. That's something that doesn't get easier as you get older either, does it? Talking about the children needing to listen to their parents, but one of the things perhaps happens as we get older is perhaps we get more set in our ways, don't we? And more reluctant to listen to God's word and his advice there in it. And similar, of course, listening to rebuke, being willing to take on board a hard lesson that we may have to learn, that we're doing something wrong, that we're not doing something the wise way. Proverbs 17, verse 10, just for an example, but there's loads of them of it. Proverbs 17, verse 10, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. What a big image, isn't it? Classic sort of picture there in the book of Proverbs. A little while back, we were building a boys' brigade, weren't we? We were building these little rocket launchers to send up these little paper rockets. And there they had to bang a nail into these pieces of wood. And wisdom had told me that I would just tap it once for them and then stay in clear. Because you don't want to, you never hold a nail while a child's going to swing the hammer, do you? But here's his point here. A fool does that 100 times and keeps saying, ow, why did that happen? But rebuke is what the wise listen to. Wisdom is to listen to a rebuke rather than just, ow, ow, ow. I've done the same thing again. It's still a mess. I've no idea why that's happened. Proverbs tells us, listen to the rebuke. Listen to what God tells us. And it's a theme that's all there in the Bible. We picked up this parable of Jesus. But Paul, in his words to Timothy, Paul talks to this young man, Timothy, who's been taught the Bible by his mum and his grandma, it seems. And Paul says to Timothy, from early years, from young age, you've known the scriptures that can make you wise to salvation. The point of it was, Timothy, when he'd been a child, he listened to his mum, he'd listened to his grandma, they taught him the scriptures, taught him the Bible. And Timothy had become wise. And he was a valued member of Paul's missionary team because he'd learned wisdom, he'd listened. He'd started in that right way, the scriptures that can make you wise. Or in Proverbs 22 and verse 17, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply your heart to knowledge, for it's a pleasant thing if you keep it within you. Let it be fixed on your lips, so your trust may be in the Lord, as I've instructed you, even you. The start of building on the rock is to listen to God's words. To listen to those things, the scriptures that can make you wise for salvation. And then you need the rock to build on. Jesus made the point, didn't he, in the parable, that the wise man builds on the rock. And again, that theme is there, isn't it, in the whole of the Bible. The rock, of course, is a picture of Jesus himself. When Jesus said there in the end of the Sermon on the Mount, whoever hears my words and obeys them, he's the wise man. Jesus was making an amazing claim. No one else talked like that. Jesus said, if you listen to me, you're wise. If you build your life on me, that was a big claim to make. He was claiming to be the one, the foundation of everything. The rock that we should build on. In that verse we just read in Proverbs 22, it talked about listening to the words of the wise, listening to God's word, Proverbs 22 verse 19, so that your trust may be in the Lord, as I've instructed you, even you. The point of it is that through learning, through listening, we come to trust the Lord. That's why the book of Proverbs are written. I'm telling you all of these things, the writer says, so your trust may be in the Lord, so that you may trust him, that you might dig down and find that rock, find that one foundation that you can rely on, listening to God's word and discovering in it salvation. Going back to what Paul said, the scriptures that are able to make you wise for salvation, because in the scriptures you find the Saviour. You can become wise by finding him and trusting in the Lord. Another big theme, isn't it, in the book of Proverbs? That's how the book again began, Proverbs 1 and verse 7. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom begins with fearing the Lord. We've looked at that a few times in other weeks, haven't we? That may be being afraid of death and hell that we've mentioned already. Being afraid of God's anger. Being afraid of those things. Not wanting that to be the end of our life. And a fear of the Lord. Aware of his holiness and his justice. And those things that we deserve. But then coming to honour him and respect him and trust him. Because that's the foundation of wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom. Listen to me, says Jesus. Listen to what I say. It's something personal. It's listening to Jesus, submitting to him, honouring him, fearing and trusting him. The scriptures that can make you wise to salvation. Because there in the Bible we meet Jesus. All the scriptures point to him, the rock that we can build on. And so he tells us in Proverbs 13 and verse 14, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. We read that proverb already. If you turn to Proverbs 14 and verse 27, you'll find the same proverb repeated. Proverbs 14 verse 27, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. We're saying that the book of Proverbs is an assortment. One of the funny things, actually, is you can sometimes find the same proverb several times. It must be a good one. Like this one here, that is telling us the fear of the Lord. That's where life begins. That's where we find salvation. That's where we find this promise of life. And Jesus uses those same words, doesn't he, in that proverb, when he talks to the Samaritan woman. And he talks to her about finding living water. A fountain of living water that's bubbling up within her to eternal life. And where will she find it? By coming to him, he says. This fountain of life, the fear of the Lord, is found in coming to the Lord Jesus. In having that trust that we place in him. We'll go back a proverb to chapter 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Same picture, isn't it? Of having a safe place, a secure house, a refuge, almost a castle perhaps. Where is it? This hope, this confidence that we can have. It's found in Jesus. It's found in trusting in him. And so we need to listen. We need to have a thought for the future. We need to plan out this house. We need to listen to God's word. We need to dig down and find that foundation that is the Lord Jesus Christ as we put our trust in him. And then, well, you need to get building. You need to get building. That picture of one is one of ongoing, carrying on, following the Lord Jesus, building on that foundation that he has given. And again, that's a big theme in the book of Proverbs. We'll pick up a handful of those in that. As we seek to build on that foundation that the Lord Jesus has given, we need to obey. We need to listen to him, we've already. We need to trust in him. And then, simple stuff, we need to obey him. And there in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There he spells it out for us. We need that humility to listen to Jesus. We need to trust in him. We need to fear the Lord and then do what? Obey him. Turn away from evil. We need to obey him. We need to start doing the right thing and turning away from the wrong thing. And that's one of those things that keeps coming up in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 14, for example, and verse 16. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Again, we're talking about that humility. That humility to listen to God's word, to listen to the Lord Jesus, and do what's right. Rather than being self-confident and proud in ourselves. Which is a very dangerous thing, isn't it? In one of the commentaries I was reading, somebody shared a story about a young pastor, an assistant pastor in a church, who was receiving the flattering attention of several eligible ladies. And somebody older and wiser than him said, oh, you've got to be very careful. You've got to be very careful that you're not led astray. And the man just laughed and said, oh, well, there's safety in numbers. The pastor replied, yes, but there's more safety in Exodus. There's more safety in heading away from temptation, not messing around with it. Think of Joseph in that situation where he was tempted. He wasn't self-confident. Thinking, I can handle this. I can handle the charms of this lady. No, he ran away, didn't he? Because that's what the wise does. The wise departs from evil. He wants to put 100 miles between him and that evil or that temptation that there is. That's the wise thing. The wise thing to do is to turn from evil, not to trust ourselves, but rather to realise how weak we are and how much we need to trust Jesus in those things. As we do that, we need to fight against evil, the evil that there is within us too, realising our own nature. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and their evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. The wise thing to do in obeying the Lord Jesus is to recognise the sin there is, even within us. Pride, arrogance, lying, fighting against those sins, hating those sins that we so easily commit. And then seeking to work against them, seeking to try to be careful. And that's one of the themes that comes up time and time again in the book of Proverbs. Wanting to be careful, being careful about our lips. Proverbs 10 verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. He who restrains his lips is wise. We're careful about our lips. We're careful too about our heart. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Protect your heart, he's saying. Be careful, because it's the source of our life. If our heart is a heart that loves God and trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, well, we need to protect it. We need to be careful because of other things we may so easily love too much. We need to be careful too to understand the right way to go, to think about our own plans. Proverbs 14 and verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. The wisdom, the wise thing to do is to understand the way, understand where we're going, being careful, planning ahead, thinking through our choices. Being careful too about our appetites, about our desires. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler. Whoever is led astray by it is not wise. The wise person's careful, recognising that, yes, wine may be very nice or whatever, nothing necessarily wrong with it, but realising that it very easily leads astray. Being careful with those appetites. Be careful with good things, even. Being careful they don't lead us astray. Being careful with our friends. Just a couple of little things just to finish off with. Proverbs 12 and verse 26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. It's a clever proverb, isn't it? The righteous should choose his friends carefully, being careful, recognizing there will be some who lead us astray. It says in Proverbs 13, verse 20, he who walks with the wise will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. That's a big factor, isn't it, in our Christian lives, in seeking to obey the Lord Jesus and walk with him. The book of Proverbs tells us to walk with those who are wise, to have friends amongst God's children, because they're going to encourage us in going the right way. The companion of fools might be destroyed, recognizing that there may be so-called friends who lead us astray, who don't know the right way to live. Back in Proverbs chapter 10, that we were thinking about, verse 5, he who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in the harvest is a son who causes shame. Again, big theme, we'll pick it up another time. The theme in Proverbs of diligently working hard with the task that God has given. Not slacking, not being lazy, but getting on with those things that God's given us. Obeying him in those situations he's put us in. And lastly, as well, seeking to win others. Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The wise thing to do is to seek to win others, is to try and warn others about the dangers that they're facing, to try and make others, people, think about their life and think about where those things are heading. Which one are we? Are we built on a rock? There's a picture there of a lighthouse built on a rock, facing a colossal battering of a storm. And yet, it endures. It stays. And that was the theme of Jesus' parable, wasn't it? The wise builder listens and obeys the Lord Jesus, and even when the storms come, he'll be okay. The house will survive. The building will last. The fool, on the other hand, Jesus says the fool listens but doesn't obey. He ignores it. He goes in one ear and out the other. And there's so many proverbs about that too. There's not really time to look them all up. There's so many proverbs warning us about listening to God. And the fool's the one who doesn't. The fool's the one who doesn't listen to his parents. The fool is somebody who won't accept rebuke or advice. Which one are we? Are you wise or are you a fool? That's what Jesus wanted to conclude with at the end of his sermon, which was much longer than mine. Are we wise or are we a fool? Do we listen? Are you a wise or fool in the way you listen? Do we trust? Are you wise or a fool? Do you trust Jesus? The fool won't trust. The fool doesn't have a fear of God. The fool has no concern about the future. The fool walks straight into danger. The fool is facing death and destruction. Do you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to fear the Lord? Have you found that salvation, those scriptures that make you wise to salvation? Are you wise or a fool? And as Jesus puts it, do you obey his words? A fool is reckless. A fool is careless. A fool is led astray. A fool won't obey. Which one are we? Which one are you? Are you wise or a fool? Are we those who are listening to God's word, listening to the Lord Jesus? Are we those who are trusting in him? Are we those who are seeking to obey him and build on that rock, the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ? In these collective proverbs, they have so much to teach us about the wise and the fool. Which one are we? Are we listening? Are we turning to the Lord Jesus, asking him to help us to be wise? Let's pray, and then we'll sing our last hymn after that. Dear Lord God, we do come before you humbly, recognizing that so often we are such fools. We can be fools who blunder into the same sin repeatedly. We can be fools who hear your word and it goes in one ear and out the other. We can be fools because we don't plan ahead and think about the future. We can be fools because we're so easily led astray from the path of life. Lord, we begin to recognise just a little bit of how weak we are. And Lord, it's a good thing to have our self-confidence eroded away and our pride. Lord, we pray that we might have that true wisdom, that it might begin with the fear of the Lord, that it might begin with that humility, that it might begin with that trust in you. We pray you'd help us to listen. Listen to your word. Listen when we're corrected. Listen when we're advised. Listen when we're pointed in the right direction. Lord, make us wise. We so need your wisdom. We don't have it in and of ourselves. We ask you for wisdom. Help us to build in that right way. Help us to obey. Help us to flee from sin. Help us to protect our hearts and our lips, to be careful of our friendships and careful of our work. Lord, we pray you'd help us to build wisely on the rock. Lord, we're all aware that we lack wisdom. And so we ask you to make us wise. Lord, we don't want to have that house that collapses. We don't want to live a life and then we reach our last breath and realise it was all a waste. Lord, we pray that we would seek the Lord Jesus Christ now and that we would live our lives for you, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our last hymn, which I think is number 638.
Good.
Number 638. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. It says in the second verse, be thou my wisdom, thou my true word, I ever with you, thou with me, Lord, listening to him. So let's stand and sing together this last hymn.